Hello everyone, welcome to This Week in Stupid for the 28th of September 2014. This week I have a special guest idiot for you, me, as I was stupid enough to allow Jenny Goodchild to join me on a live stream where I was talking about Digra, totally derailing everything with her baiting and probably doing more harm than good. If you're unfamiliar with Jenny, she appeared in a 2012 BBC News article called "What's It Like to Be Asexual?", a question that nobody asked and nobody is interested in the answer to. Except perhaps her boyfriend Tim, who is not asexual. One can only imagine the levels of zen Tim has achieved in his time with Jenny. I mention this because I think it's important that lessons are learned from this debacle, especially as Jenny appears to be some kind of agent provocateur for Digra. Quote, "Hi, tweeting from Pixie Jen, but want to avoid trolls following." This is from her boyfriend's account. "Been sent a detailed message about Silverstring and critical distance, so I just wanted to give you a heads up on it in case you suddenly started getting nasty stuff happening." This appears to be something the anti-Gamergate people are doing, as other social justice warriors appear to be attempting to fool Gamergaters as well. My recommendation is not to give these people the time of day. I think it's easy to see the content of their character, and I really don't think any good is going to come of it. I hope everyone can learn from my mistake. But enough about my idiocy, as I don't want to hog the limelight. Especially not when Jessica Valenti's out there saying things like, "Emma Watson nude photos threat was a hoax, but it's still a threat." Jessica, darling, I don't think you understand what the word hoax means. Honestly, at this point I'm tempted to give her a regular weekly spot on this. Rantic Media, the supposed marketing bros behind the threat. Hoax or no, it was still a threat. Well, actually, no, if it's a hoax, it's not a threat. But, swears that the goal was to bring attention to the sexism of 4chan and the recent celebrity photo leaks. Honestly, I think Moot's done more to kill 4chan than anyone else ever could. The Emma Watson hoax was a cravenly opportunistic move to gin up attention using a real issue, and a real woman, and fear that real women and marginalised groups across the internet face constantly. That's not marketing or consciousness raising, it's harassment. I can actually agree with that. Probably was a form of harassment. And it really doesn't speak well of Rantic Media. And that's probably where we should leave it, isn't it, Jessica? Or we could go and say something bigoted. The Rantic firm of men didn't actually believe that women would be grateful. Men, do you know that they're all men? Isn't being men actually relevant to what they did? Is it that you've got this innate hatred of men, and that comes out in everything you write, Jessica? But they weren't doing anything to further the conversation about misogyny online, nor about social media threats, or celebrity privacy. The supposed hoaxers just wanted their 15 minutes, their 140 characters. The only thing Emma Watson's harassers achieved was to remind women that our bodies and the sexual fear with which they've been instilled since childhood are usable as a joke. Well, I find that outrageous. Everyone knows that feminists can't take a joke. But honestly, I'm a bit more worried about your parents instilling sexual fear in you since childhood. What does your therapist think of this? Sexual harassment and online threats against women aren't something to joke about or try out in service of some imagined greater good. Believe me, no good came of this. Do you know what gallows humour is, Jessica? You might want to look into it. It's a coping mechanism for people trapped in a terrible world of fear. Normally it's most associated with people who are, I don't know, trapped in World War II trenches, but in your case it's associated with the modern First World. But to the men who decided Watson's sense of safety was worth throwing to the internet wolves so long as it meant making a splash, why not try to reclaim that part of your humanity about which Watson spoke so eloquently in her UN speech? How did they throw her sense of safety to the internet wolves? What happened? Who got on this? What are you talking about? But instead of using women's bodies and fear and sexuality to make money, get attention, and feel like men, consider becoming a more true and complete version of yourself. And if that completed guy is still an asshole, do us all a favour and back away from the computer permanently. A cursory glance at her comments section shows that she's become the Howard Stern of the internet. I think Valenti's principal disappointment is that not everything she reads on the internet is true. And funny, I was thinking the same about you when she refers to backing away from the computer permanently. Don't worry, Jessica, someone else will pick up the baton and carry it on for you. From Emma Watson's nude threat to abusive YouTube comments, Why women aren't safe on the internet. Even though I don't think there's any proof that a woman has ever been hurt by Emma Watson's nude threat or any comments on YouTube. But let me get this straight. I'm supposed to believe a threat doesn't matter because it isn't carried out. No, Emma Lopato. It doesn't matter because it was a hoax. The content of the article is mostly the same. But she goes on to say, if we don't make it stop, it never will. And this isn't just a dumb hangover from our Puritan past. It's actually dangerous. If good girls aren't supposed to enjoy sex, then forcing sex on them is okay. Meanwhile, bad girls deserve it. Either way, it's possible to justify rape. Which I find amazing because I've never heard someone who isn't a feminist justify rape. But if that doesn't frighten you, it should. It's implicit in the argument that women have no right to enjoy nudes privately and safely. It implies that women are public property. It says our consent doesn't matter. I think it's more about famous people taking photos of themselves, uploading them to the cloud, where people who want to see these celebrities naked can find them. The average woman is in no danger, if danger is even the correct word. Stolen celebrity nudes are, by definition, non-consensual. I presume we're not talking about Emma Watson here, since, as far as I know, there are no nudes. But if we're talking about Jennifer Lawrence and the photos she took of herself, then I'm pretty sure they were consensual, and what you're talking about is a form of theft. And no one has ever suggested that theft is consensual, you moron. But someone who looks at them is complicit in the abuse. He is looking at something released explicitly against the will of the person depicted. Well, fuck me. I abused the US government plenty of times when I read Edward Snowden's NSA releases. Dear American government, I'm so sorry. If you need to talk to me about your feelings, you know where I am. Because you're spying on everyone. Does it stop there, though? Fuck no, of course it doesn't stop there. We're so close to the edge, we may as well leap off into insanity. The Emma Watson threats were a hoax, but women face similar intimidation online every day, presumably in the form of more hoaxes. The group behind all of this turned out to be Rantic Marketing, who are actually serial spammer internet trolls known as Social Vivo. They were using the vile threats to drive traffic to their website and make a buck. But the intricacies of the hoax, and who perpetrated it, aren't the most important part of this story. Because if they were, this probably wouldn't be a story. The threat of nude photos were a tool used to assert control over Emma Watson's body and message. You fucking what mate? A distraction which created fear and anxiety that was as real as if the threat had actually been realised. As Elizabeth Plank pointed out, nude photos may have become the new weapon of online misogynists, and ultimately stealing and releasing them, or just saying you're going to do so, isn't about exposing a sexy woman's body, it's about power. God, the level of projections are mind-boggling. It's about young lads wanting to see naked women, and Rantic were doing it to get young lads to come to their website, to get hits, to get traffic, to get money. But no, it's all about... We now know that Social Vivo was never going to release naked photographs of Emma Watson, but it would hardly have been surprising if they had. Since they didn't have any photos of Emma Watson naked, I think it would have actually been very surprising. I look forward to the time when that's not the case, and when nude photos aren't something that holds such power. I'm not really sure what you're asking for there. Are you asking for young boys to be castrated before puberty or something? Because I think that's practically the only way you're going to stop them wanting to see naked photos of very attractive women. It does get even worse for women though, because apparently YouTube star Sam Pepper attempts to prank women by grabbing their butts. Sam Pepper, a British YouTube celebrity with a following over 2 million, posted a video on September the 20th where he walks around grabbing unsuspecting women's butts and films their reactions. The public outcry for this clip to be taken down was so loud that YouTube removed the video this morning. Won't someone think of the children? Pepper is famous for his outrageous YouTube prank videos. However, this one not only confused but angered many of his fans and a large portion of the internet. I'm sure it's the sane and rational portion of the internet. The video features Pepper walking up to 5 different women, starting a conversation, and then pinching their butts when they look away. It's painful to watch as these women awkwardly laugh off Pepper's prank and walk away, violated and confused. I'm not advocating people go around pinching women's bums, but he didn't hold them down and brutally rape them. Obviously, this spawned the hashtag #ReportSamPepper, and very brave Twitter users said, because calling it a prank does not make it okay to go around and sexually harass women. Right on, sister. Report Sam Pepper, because no woman should ever have to be touched without consent. What a brave statement. I can't believe that you were brave enough to put that on the internet. I can do brave statements too. No one should be brutally murdered in their sleep by a psychotic knife-wielding maniac. I know, that was a brave thing to say. It's unusual for anyone to say that sort of thing on the internet. I know. Report Sam Pepper, because having a million subscribers on YouTube does not give you a free pass to grope girls and call it a prank. Then what is the point of having a million subscribers on YouTube? Sexual harassment is not a joke, and women's bodies are not there for your amusement and video views. Maybe someone should tell Lacey Green that, who coincidentally chimed in with an open letter. We are deeply disturbed by this trend. What, is she the fucking queen now? And would like to ask you, from one creator to another, to please stop. Please stop violating women and making them uncomfortable on the street for views. Please stop physically restraining them and pressuring them to be sexual when they're uncomfortable. How did he restrain them? Please show some respect for women's right to their own bodies. How did he remove their right to their own body? While it may seem like harmless fun, a simple prank or a social experiment, feminists hate fun and they really don't want you to do that. I mean, these videos encourage millions of young men and women to see these violations as a normal way to interact with women. Lacey, the reason he has 2 million views is because these are not normal things that he does. And people watch them and go, oh my god, I can't believe he did that. But it turns out that this was a hoax too. Pepper claimed his original video was staged and scripted. Oh, good God, it's like the internet is just going out of its way to make feminists look like a bunch of killjoys. Let me paraphrase what's happened here. Normal people. Here's a joke that everyone's in on. Isn't this funny? Feminists. Ah! That makes me feel awful. How dare you? Normal people. But that was a joke. What's the problem? Feminists. Ah! Seriously. Get a sense of fucking humour. You know, like millennials. Everyone knows millennials are famous for their amazing senses of humour. Just look at this article. 50 things about millennials that make corporate America shit its pants. That's pretty damn edgy, that title. In 2013, Joel Stein deemed the millennials the me generation. The Time contributor called Generation Y selfish, egotistical, and lazy. As per usual, no one knows what to make of us. Our parents scorn us, then praise us. They lament over our technological dependency, then ask us to set up their iPads. They tell us we're lazy and then ask us for a loan. Wait, what? A loan? How many millennials are loaning their parents money? But they continue with, our generation is an anomaly. We refuse to do things their way, so they call us entitled. Yeah, that's exactly why someone would call you entitled. We refuse to sit in cubicles, so they call us spoiled. Yeah, that's exactly why someone would call you spoiled. We refuse to follow their plans, so they call us stubborn. Well, now that actually might be why someone might call you stubborn. What they are slowly realizing, however, is that we're not lazy, stubborn, or entitled. We just refuse to accept things as they are given to us. Despite that refusing something can be being stubborn, being given things and not working for them is being lazy, refusing to accept the things that are being given to you because they're not good enough is entitlement. We refuse to adhere to work schedules that don't work. We refuse to allow the corporate culture to suffocate our creativity. We no longer see adulthood as the end of our childhood, but the beginning of something even more liberating. We're not going to hand our souls over to men in suits or women in pencil skirts. We're not going to work for companies we don't respect. No, you're all going to work for Gawker. We're not going to wake up every morning dreading the 9-to-5, but we're not going to sit back and sulk either. Oh my god, really, you're not going to sulk. You're not, okay. You're just going to sit there and blog about it on your iPad. We're going to innovate. We're going to change the game. We're going to show our parents, corporate America, and everyone else who refuses to take us seriously that we're not lazy, entitled, nor egotistical. Well, honestly, your attempt to show everyone that you're not lazy, entitled, nor egotistical proves that you're lazy, entitled, and egotistical. In fact, we're the kids who are going to take your jobs and throw them away, which will be absolutely wonderful for the economy, I am sure. Like that girl you can't understand, corporate America has gone from scorning us to fearing us. I think it's more fearing the consequences of you. The bosses don't understand why we're not pleading to work with them, why we're not wearing suits to interviews, and why the hell we're not trying to make a good impression on them. Which is probably completely true. They police each other's thoughts and speech to impress each other, not to impress corporate America. They don't understand why we're not lining up after college for a spot in the factory lines. Maybe because you don't live in Indonesia, but I mean you do have that degree in gender studies, so you are entitled to a better job than working in a factory, surely. They don't understand why we don't want to make five figures under fluorescent lighting, while we'd rather be broke than bored. It really seems like you guys have got the best of both worlds there. They don't understand why we're not chasing them with our legs spread. How are you going to chase someone with your legs spread? I am really having trouble reading this with a straight face. Sorry, corporate America, we're just not interested. But we are interested in queuing up round the block for the iPhone 6. And we have absolutely no idea why we're broken bored. We gave you a shot, tried you out, and decided you weren't for us. We saw how you treated our parents, grandparents, and the bottom percent, and realised that you weren't that good of a guy. Well, I mean, that is true, but the laziness, stubbornness, and entitlement just screams, doesn't it? Much like why our generation is full of more singles than any before, we're not just willing to settle. We're going to keep doing things our way, striving for that ideal life, even if it makes everyone else uncomfortable. To which I'm sure savvy entrepreneurs are listening to this and thinking, I should start breeding cats. I think one of the multitude of reasons that millennials are so damn single is that women need to start asking out men, because men have no balls. Ladies, it's been said before, but I'll say it again, they just don't make them like they used to. Oh yeah, I can tell this article's going to be incredibly well thought out. There's no door holding, no hand holding, and definitely no free drinks. Do you wonder if that's something to do with, you know, the Equal Pay Act and women's liberation or anything like that? Is that maybe there's no taking off hats? I'm pretty sure that there are plenty of fedoras being tipped though, or courting through invitations. Why? There are so many sex positive feminists around. There are no smooth moves or jackets, no jackets to dinner. What? There are no flowers, no tables by candlelight. I, too, am concerned about the economic state of the florist industry. But most importantly, there are no dates. My tiny violin is around here somewhere. If you're a single woman, and you probably are, you've probably envisaged your 20s as a roaring social scene, full of expensive dinners and lavish nights out that presumably you weren't paying for, but, you know, that's just that millennial entitlement that you guys don't have talking. You probably thought you'd have a boyfriend, or at least a few dates a week. Why wouldn't you? You're fucking amazing. Everyone thinks you're the tits. You probably thought you'd meet a guy at a bar and he'd ask for your number. You probably thought you'd be on your way to dinner next week. And you probably weren't thinking that you were going to be the one paying for it. After too many nights spent in bars and one too many phone numbers given out, how many phones do you have? You've probably realised the sad truth of the situation. You're not going on any dates or being courted in any type of manner because, unfortunately, men these days are cowards. Yeah, it's not because you have literally no redeeming qualities. It's men. All men everywhere. Well, to be fair here, not all men. Oh, sorry. No, it isn't all men. It's just most men. They say a girl is hot, but never hit on her. They'll text you for a week, but never ask you out. They'll do absolutely everything but make a move. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's anything to do with people complaining about bum-pinching pranks. I've watched men pine over women, talking about them like future wives, and yet after staring at them for 2 hours, let them walk away. I've watched men chase women down for their phone numbers, yet wait a week to text them, acting like it's something they simply forgot about. I've watched men spend an entire night talking to a girl, yet never get up the nerve to ask for her number. What is making all of these men so afraid? I mean, a lot of them are probably in university. They're on college campuses all the time. Why would they be afraid of interacting with women? I just can't even. It must be that men are cowards. We're dealing with a new breed of men here, and it's not the kind we grew up dreaming about. I'm absolutely sure she knows exactly why men have grown up to be abject cowards. Let's have faith in her. It's the want what I want, but don't know how to get it type. It's the sweet, cuddly mama's boys who grow up terrified of making the first move. It's the guys who have so much to say, but don't know how to say it. Men, this is all your fault. Now, the unfortunate paradox for a woman is that she must be the chaste and the chaser. Look, that's not the unfortunate paradox. The unfortunate paradox is that you've got women complaining that men are too assertive, and then now you've got women complaining that men are not assertive enough. It's almost like, stay with me here, men can't do anything right. Anyone notice the problem here? Well, yes, but go on. Yet again, women are left to do all the work. We're left playing both sides of the game because they've simply forgotten how to play. See, that's terrible, because if there's one thing all these single guys are talking about when they're at the pub, it's just how damn hard women work. Women work so hard, and they're held back by the patriarchy. It's awful. And men used to be held back by those patriarchal gender roles that insisted they had to go and ask the women out, but thank God feminism's freed them from those. It stems from a number of factors, but most prominently from the fact that men don't know what the hell they want from us. Oh my God, really? Okay, no. They want the virgin and the whore. Yeah, no, they don't. They want the slut and the good girl. They want the girl who's playing hard to get, but they don't know how to get her. Okay. Because they don't know what they want, they end up chasing nothing. It's the dilemma of the overcrowded buffet. There are too many options, so they choose an empty plate. Something they don't even like to begin with, right? I'm just going to assume that what you're saying is true and not absolutely insane. Whose fault was that? Obviously it's the men's fault. This leaves women making all the moves. We must tell them what they want if we're to get anywhere close to the goals we had for ourselves. Fucking hell. Yeah, you just tell those guys what they want. You do that, love. And next time someone tells you that men are controlling, you can agree with them. But it will never be as we fully imagined. Because in our dreams, men weren't timid or scared little boys. In our dreams, men were the ones with the balls to ask us out. They'll never admit it, but you scare the hell out of them. Actually, I think plenty of men are quite willing to admit that they're really scared of what women can do. After years of social conditioning, we've been duped into thinking that the men are the strong ones, that they are the leaders, the protectors, and the fighters, and that they are the ones who see what they want and go after it. Well, TV lied to you. Men aren't these masculine displays of strength and perseverance. They aren't these persistent characters created by Nicholas Sparks and John Green. They aren't going to catch your eye and spend all night convincing you why you should be with them. They have, in fact, become everything women have asked them to become. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. Men are shy, timid, and scared shitless of any woman with half a brain. So yet again, women must be the strong ones. We must put ourselves out there and risk rejection, because if we don't do it, bars will soon be exactly like those middle school dances. Boys on one side, girls on another. Why are men like this? Well, for years they've been raised by their mamas. Hang on. That sounds an awful lot like victim blaming to me. The women who told them that they were the best thing God created on this earth. I don't think that boys are being told that. For years they've been given everything on a silver platter. What? Up until the end of college, when they were picking up women who just threw up their jungle juice. What? Does that mean they're picking up women who just threw up their cum? Of course, it's not entirely the women's fault, because some mothers have raised great men. This isn't to discredit the generation of mothers before us who raised the myriad of young men we're dealing with today, even though you literally just said it wasn't entirely their fault. And it might well be. But for the select few who didn't teach them how to properly court a woman, well, shame on you. Well, is it any wonder they spent too much time teaching them not to rape? Shame on you for not teaching them how to properly approach a woman. Shame on you for giving them the idea that women must go to them. Shame on you for making them believe they all they had to do was stand at a bar and wait for a girl to appear on their arm. God damn it, single mothers, shame on you. They always think they're someone better, but they're not lazy, entitled, narcissistic millennials. With Gigi Hadid and Miranda Kerr's Instagrams readily accessible, women have got a lot to compete with. What? Fortunately, we're competing with the women these men will never have a shot with. I don't see why it matters, since you're going to remain an eternal singleton. Unfortunately, these men don't seem to know this. I think they're well aware. We can dream about Channing Tatum and Chris Pine all we want. No double standards. But at least women are rational enough to understand that's just not going to happen. Whereas men are like, yes, one day I will be the one who marries Jennifer Lawrence. One fucking day. So we settle for the options we've been given and learn to work with what we have, which is eternal solitude with your cats. Men, on the other hand, always seem to be waiting for something better. In the age of Facebook and Instagram, there's this constant filtered delusion that the hotter girl sits just an inbox away. Men also know that they don't get up the nerve to ask you out. All they have to do is swipe right on and not ask her out on Tinder to skip to the next date and get right to the good stuff, who they will presumably continue to pine over. I know I'm going on this one, but it's just all gold. They never grew up. It's sad but not surprising that a report by Nickelodeon UK, the most trustworthy place for reports to come from, men are 11 years behind women in maturity. Men are 11 years behind women in maturity. While the study garnered much attention, women everywhere were less than surprised. Didn't we already know this? To add insult to the few dates that you have yet to be asked on, men are also getting married less than ever before. Those fucking men, they just won't do what women tell them to do, will they? According to a study by Pew Research Center, only 26% of Generation Y is married. Compared to the 48% of our parents at this age, there's no denying that men just don't have their shit together. I absolutely adore everything about this article. Just the complete reversal of perspective of entitled woman saying, well, men aren't marrying or dating me. They just need to get their shit together. I'm so annoyed about this situation. Who can I write a complaint to? And men are just like, no, next. We're dating less and thus marrying less, and the downfall picks up speed with every failed attempt to ask a woman out. Which is exactly the feminist paradise that Gloria Steinem was asking for. So you've really got her to thank for all this. Men are finally being forced to learn about sexual consent at university, and it's about time. Many will call it patronising, but how else can we teach men not to rape? I don't know, why don't we teach single mothers to teach their sons not to rape before they get to university? Consent workshops are as important for women as men, however. Just as men don't realise they've been raped, women often don't realise they've been raped. I can see why men don't ask out women, if you can't even tell whether you're being raped or not. They'll say they felt uncomfortable, got taken advantage of, or pressured into sex. None of those things are rape. So rarely will they ever use the word, thinking that it describes something else. Which it does. But it doesn't. I was initially the same. I didn't realise I'd been raped until a friend told me that I'd been raped. Because that's how rape works. If you don't get told by someone else that in fact you were raped, then how else could you possibly know? Most importantly, consent workshops will shift responsibility from the victim to the perpetrator. They will teach men not to rape, rather than tell women not to wear short skirts or drink. Avoiding, rejecting, and stigmatising victim blaming is crucial for change. School timetables should also incorporate similar discussions. Oxford Student Union already runs workshops aimed at secondary school children, but they should be expanded. People should understand consent before reaching the age where sex is on the radar. Because too many men arrive at university without knowing the meaning of consent. Which is probably why they say they feel patronised. But I'd rather have some men feeling patronised than others remain ignorant and raping women at will, I imagine. I'd like to end this on something sensible. Couple singing Peppa Pig tune to toddler forced off bus after complaints they were being racist because it goes against Muslim pork ban. A couple were thrown off a bus and branded racists after singing the Peppa Pig theme tune to their autistic daughter, it has been claimed. Those fucking monsters. I want them dealt with. Nick Barnfield and Sarah Cleves were travelling with their daughter Heidi on a bus from Sheffield to Doncaster when the 15-month-old started crying. Oh, she's such a fucking racist. The couple, who live in Rotherham, started singing the song in an effort to cheer their daughter up, but they were branded racist by another passenger and told to get off the bus by its driver. What? The couple claimed the woman, who they say was wearing a hijab, took offence to the snorting sounds in the song and believed they were a reference to how pork is forbidden in Islam, although this has not been confirmed. Well, I'm going to assume that this is true, but I'm also going to assume that she had a guilty conscience for eating bacon sandwiches in secret that morning. She complained to the bus's driver, who it is claimed, then told the couple it would be easier for them to get off 2 miles from their home. We are really embarrassed and ashamed and upset, and we hadn't done anything wrong. Just trying to make our little girl happy. But people were looking at us if we'd done something wrong. Don't worry, we all know who's really done something wrong. Your racist little girl who likes Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig is a notoriously anti-Muslim children's cartoon in the UK. And Muslims are constantly up in arms about it. Because it's a pig. It was humiliating, Mr. Branfield said. The 24-year-old said they were trying to settle their daughter on the bus when they were approached aggressively by the woman. A lady came up to us and quite aggressively started telling us that we were irresponsible parents and that we were being racist singing the song. Damn it, Heidi, look what you made your parents do. But the most outrageous thing is that South Yorkshire Police said it was not investigating the incident. God damn it, South Yorkshire Police, I want justice for the poor Muslim woman who was harassed by some child forcing her parents to make pig sounds at her to entertain her on the bus. The corruption and laziness of the British police force has gone too far. Well, there we have it, the adorable face of evil and her racist, anti-Muslim propaganda in the background. It's only a matter of time before she's voting for the BNP.